read from the story of O, which is one of the first books about BDSM that I read a long time ago. Okay. Her lover one day takes O for a walk in a section of the city where they never go. The Montesaurus Park. After they've taken a stroll in the park and have sat together side by side on the edge of a lawn, they notice at one corner of the park, at an intersection where there are never any taxis, a car, which because of its meter resembles a taxi. "Get in," he says. She gets in. It is autumn, and coming up to dusk, she's dressed as she always is. High heels, a suit with a pleated skirt, a silk blouse, and no hat. But long gloves which come up over the sleeves of her jacket, and in her leather handbag she has her identification papers, her compact, and her lipstick. The taxi moves off slowly, the man still not having said a word to the driver. But he pulls down the shades of the windows on both sides of the car and the shade on the back window. She has taken off her gloves, thinking he wants to kiss her. That he wants to caress her. But instead he says, "Your bag's in your way, let me have it." She gives it to him. He puts it out of her reach and adds, "You also have on too many clothes. Unfasten your stockings and roll them down to above your knees. Here are some garters." By now, the taxi has picked up speed and she has some trouble managing it. She's also afraid the driver may turn around. Finally, though, the stockings are rolled down and she's embarrassed to feel her legs naked and free beneath her silk slip. Besides, the loose garter belt suspenders are slipping back and forth. "Unfasten your garter belt," he says, "and take off your panties." That's easy enough. All she has to do is slip her hands behind her back and raise herself slightly. He takes the garter belt and panties from her, opens her bag and puts them in. Then says you shouldn't sit on your slip and skirt. Pull them up behind you and sit directly on the seat. The seat is made of some sort of imitation leather, which is slippery and cold. It's quite an extraordinary sensation to feel it sticking to your thighs. Then he says, "Now put your gloves back on." The taxi is still moving along at a good clip, and she doesn't dare ask why Renee just sits there without moving or saying another word, nor can she guess what all this means to him, having her there motionless, silent, so stripped and exposed. So thoroughly gloved in a black car going God knows where. He hasn't told her what to do or what not to do, but she's afraid either to cross her legs or press them together. She sits with gloved hands braced on either side of her seat. "Here we are," he says suddenly. "Here we are." The taxi stops on a lovely avenue beneath a tree. There are plane trees in front some sort of small private home, which can be seen nestled between the garden and the courtyard, the type of small private dwelling one finds. The street lamps are some distance away, and it is still fairly dark inside the car. Outside it is raining. Don't move, Renee says. Sit perfectly still. His hand reaches for the collar of her blouse, unties the bow, then unbuttons the blouse. She leans forward slightly, thinking he wants to fondle her breasts. No. He is merely groping for the shoulder straps of her brassiere, which he snips with a small penknife. Then he takes it off. Now beneath her blouse, which he has buttoned back up, her breasts are naked and free, as is the rest of her body, from waist to knee. Listen, he says. Now you're ready. This is where I leave you. You should get out and go ring the doorbell. Follow whoever opens the door for you. And do whatever you're told. If you hesitate about going in, they'll come and take you in. If you don't obey immediately, they'll force you to your back. No, you have no further need for your back. You're merely the girl I'm furnishing. Yes, of course I'll be there. Oh God. Yes, of course I'll be there. Now run along. Mm-hmm.